Okay, we are back with another episode of Autastic, the podcast about autism, comedian's guide to living with autism. I'm Graham Kay, and that is
Kirk Smith.
Oh, baby. Hey, buddy, how are you?
It's good.
It's been a while. We've both been on the road.
It's been a long time.
Yeah.
Been a few weeks.
Yeah. You just got back. You were you were on the road, right? You were doing shows in Texas?
Yeah, I had a little tour. I had 11 shows in 11 days, made a little bread, and performed in front of a few thousand people.
One day you'll
people.
Make cheddar. Good for you. Baby steps.
So it was good. Sold some books, moved some books, trying to encourage some people. The book... It was great. And you were in Canada.
Your book being about living with autism called Rice Krispies with Ketchup.
It's 20 short stories, and it's just encouraging and funny. And it's just, it's meant to spread a little light on autism. It's not science, and it's not sad. It's just kind of like my
experience. That's a good title. I think any autistic parent will love that title.
It's not a cookbook. It sounds like it, but it's, So we had some successful shows out there. Yeah, we did a little headlining, and it was fun, man. We had just some great crowds. It was good.
Good for you. And you went to Sweden. You saw your son, who's in Sweden with his mom.
Yeah, he's gotten to be a big boy now. He's when you have a son. I think I've told you this, that you really want your son to be like a linebacker.
Yeah, you want to be like a big...
Yeah, and now my son is a linebacker. But then when you find out your son's autistic, you prefer for him to be more like a referee.
Yeah.
Because the size is just getting complicated, yeah. Like when you have a son, you want him to be a Viking.
Is that from your act?
And then you... It's my book, yeah. When you find out he's autistic, you want him to be an IKEA worker. They're both Swedish, but one's into pillaging and one's into pillows. He's just a big kid. He's just a big 230 maybe, 6'1".
It's a big boy.
It's a big boy. And I'm like 185, 190, 6'2". Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm built more like a kebab crane.
Yeah, you can't... if he gets in an argument...
We had some wrestling, and so I used a little little judo body movement. Otherwise, though, he's too big. He's too big. He's too big to manhandle like you used to when you're a kid. You make him do stuff. You know, you're like, but you can't do that anymore. Now you're all talk. Come on, we can do this. Come on, buddy. Come on, put your shirt on. Come on. So it was fun.
Was he happy?
He was really happy. We, you feel like as a parent, you feel guilty and you feel all these things, and so. But he was happy and excited, and yeah, I spent 5 days, and I'm going to go see him around Christmas, too, right before Christmas again. So I'm excited.
That's
good.
Great. You're going to see him soon.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
That was good. It was really good. How was Canada?
It was good. It was good. I was in Toronto. That was fun. Did some shows there. And then, I've been back for a while, though. I've been back for a couple weeks. So I've been back for, like, almost a month.
Yeah, we're just on opposite schedules, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. No, and people don't need to know my exact schedule. I was like trying to think. I was like, "What did I do?" It's been a long time. Yeah, no, it's been good. I've just been doing shows in the city. Had a lot of really good shows in LA. Great. So things are good, man. It's been a big week in autism. I'll say that. Did you show me this article?
Yeah.
This article that came out. And we've sort of touched on this topic before, but I think it's very important, and it is starting to creep into our society and become acceptable. Do you want to set it up?
Yeah, this was an article, it was in Forbes. Basically, the short version is somebody set up on Facebook a group vilifying autistic people as being dangerous and violent. The page basically appears to claim that it existed for families united against quote-unquote autistic shooters. And then there's a whole back and forth on whether...
Families united against autistic shooters.
So basically there's a...
Yeah, uniting against your son, who you have to coax into putting on a shirt. Their fear is that this guy is going...
To master shirts, then shoelaces,
then guns. Then going on a black market, getting money out, getting the correct amount of money.
Getting on the silk market or whatever that's called.
Getting
some bitcoins.
Yeah. Purchasing a handgun, thinking about a target, that he cares about.
Making a list.
Making a list. I mean, there's a lot of, I mean, these people need to talk to an autistic person.
There's a lot of steps.
They got other priorities.
There's a lot of steps, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, my brother would never shoot anybody unless you said that you were taking away his Star Wars DVDs. And you were taking away his Spider-Man belt buckle. That's like his, like...
Then he'd shoot you with his Star Wars gun.
He would figure it. He would kill me. He might just strangle me. He would just watch my eyes.
I don't know if I could get my son to even throw a punch. You know, he was bullied when he was younger on a bus, and he's such a big kid. I always felt like if I could just get this kid to figure out, you know, he's scared of like little dogs. I'm like, you could sit on that little dog.
Yeah.
A little yappy little dog. What are you scared of?
Mm-hmm.
Just hold him like you would, you know, like the guy in Mice and Men. Just hold it and rub it and squeeze it and make it your own. What are we talking about?
Don't teach him that. How about maybe not teach him that. Maybe buy him a stuffed animal. Getting back to this article is these people clearly have no idea what the hell autism is.
Right.
They are clearly dumb people, uninformed, ill-informed people who... are using autism as a blanket statement for mentally ill. So that's the main problem here, is that is starting to creep into popular culture, our language. Autism means it's the new retarded.
Yep.
But it's just a safe way of saying it, you know, and everyone knows the code, what they're really meaning. And it's pretty offensive. And I mean, we have differing view. We actually don't think we do on this. Vilification of mentally ill people when a mass shooting happens. I just don't think. I don't personally believe these people. I think they're disturbed and they're jerks, and they're sad nerds, you know. But I don't think. It's like, oh, they're mentally ill. It's mentally ill or after us. They're coming. They're crazy.
It's a scapegoat. Yeah,
it's a scapegoat.
People are looking for somebody to blame, an easy solution. And so you pick on the weak. You pick on the autistic or the voiceless and say, oh, it's Kirk's son. It's Graham's brother or whoever. That's not the issue.
I'm pretty sure they're just making people happy and by revisiting their childhood every time they hang out with them.
So, yeah, it's short-sighted and it's silly. But people were upset, so there's been some complaints, and it's unclear if they've taken it down or if Facebook made them take it down. But
this is a Facebook page.
This is a Facebook page, yeah.
But
yeah.
It had like a bunch of likes. It was a Families United.
And they've covered it. It was in Forbes. It was in a few, you know, it was in a few articles. It's kind of a big deal. So, yeah, now we talked about this a little bit, but, you know, it goes to a broader subject, which to me is, instead of vilifying these people and trying to find people to blame, this is an area where we should consider funding. You know, it feels like we always have money as a country to spend on the things we want to spend money on, which is fine. You know, if somebody, a political candidate says, oh, we need to build a wall to protect us from the Mexicans, everybody's all great. And if you say, oh, we need to fund some mental health facilities, and everybody goes, well, how are we going to pay for that? Well, wait a minute, we can't find a way to pay for everything else.
Yeah.
And then you talk about protecting and serving your most vulnerable society, and then, oh, that's very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's expensive, but where you spend your money dictates your priorities. And how do we not find money for this? We find money for all these other things.
Also, that's the kind of thing, like there are certain things that this country spends money on where they're never going to see the money back. But if you spend money on mental health, you save money in the long run. It's an investment.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just, you know, it's tough because your job, every 4 years, you're trying to get a new job. It's not, you're not thinking long term, you know, which is just too bad. It's I guess, I don't know. I think we need to realize as a society that mentally ill people, like we were talking about this before, in the 60s, up until the 60s, they were all stored in these horrific torture, mentally ill, insane asylums.
Basically, like One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. That was kind of that was a thing. That wasn't a horror movie. That was based on
my brother. My brother would have been sent there,
right?
Mine too. And I couldn't live if my brother was in there. You know, you're you know, so
horrific.
They tore those down and whatever, or Kennedy eliminated them, and that's a good thing. And but you brought up a good point also, is he didn't, Kennedy didn't do his successor after he was killed, shot in the head.
wasn't his fault.
Yeah, an autistic person shot him in the head.
It's part of a conspiracy.
That's what happened. He took away the insane asylums. An autistic person got out, got a gun, then shot him in the head.
You heard it here first, people.
Yeah,
but Graham case breaking news.
No, but they, the government never did the second part.
The second part was you get the rid of these horrible institutions, and then the next step is then we fund institutions that are smaller scale and they get the kind of care they need. And then in the end, Reagan, who did a lot of, in my opinion, good things. I know we disagree on this. That's for a different podcast. Reagan did a lot of good things. One of the bad things he did is we shut down all these hospitals, which was terrible for the people that it affected. So there's a lot of people that are even homeless today that we talk about out in L.A. There's a lot of homeless people that move out here for the weather that really need care. It's not like they're not homeless because they're lazy. They have some mental problems. I mean, you can tell when you talk to them, when you try to have a conversation.
There are, if you are homeless, like if you or I had like a bunch of bad breaks and were homeless, started with nothing, all of our resources were eliminated or something. We don't have friends and or family anymore to help us. We were on the street, you and I. Within a year, we'd have, we'd be off the streets.
Oh, I'd be a shelter or something. Yeah, you follow the rules of the shelter.
Within a day or within a week, I'd be off the streets. Within a year, I'd have my own apartment. You know what I mean? Again, and I'd be building again. Because I'm not insane. There are social programs here. But the thing is, if you're crazy and you're worried about bats flying around your brain, you know what I mean?
The government's listening to your conversations through your fillings and all sorts of things.
Yeah, you can't. It's hard for you to figure out where a shelter is.
And we're not saying all homeless. Yeah, because if you have a family and other things, it could be harder. But if you're a single guy and you're gonna find a place. Yeah, I agree.
I always think about it like this. My brother's autistic. That guy who's on the street here, maybe he grew up in the hood and his mom was a crackhead and his dad was gone or whatever, and so he had no support.
Right.
You know, my brother would be on the street trying to figure stuff out with no information and no anything. You know what I mean? It would be the worst thing ever. But the thing about it is, my brother was lucky, had a great family, but he has peers who didn't have a good family. They came from like the wrong side of the tracks, and there was programs where I'm from where those same people were taken in, taught skills, like folding laundry or whatever. Right. And you know what? They're taxpayers now.
Right. I think that's what you're trying to do.
They contribute to society.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or if they're not taxpayers, the amount of money they take away from society is very minute because they are making money. And they're not on the street. They're not on the streets like robbing car stereos and making everything scary and
being
weird,
disruptive, and making
causing society money that way, going
force,
to jail, yeah. costing like whatever. It's just so I think it's I don't know.
Or even it sounds, but even making the quality of life for everybody else worse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're busy doing their thing and being productive, and that's great. That's what I want for my son. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's all about me.
No, it is. Well, it's about us. I mean, listen, everyone who's people who are listening to this podcast who have autistic family members or whatever, you know, they're all going through the same thing you are, man. Like, it's you want your kid to be as independent as possible. You know, my dad, his dream for my I've said this before in the podcast. Yeah. My dad, his dream for my brother is to make him a taxpayer. He's not there yet. He still gets a few things from the like tax breaks and maybe some things from the government and stuff. But he's on his way. He's got four part-time jobs, you know, and you know, the goal is.
That's great.
Yeah. So I just think that going back to this article, it's this vilification, which it hurts people. It's like you're evil because you're crazy and you're autistic.
And it sounds like it reminds you of other episodes of history where we've taken other countries have taken the opportunity if things don't go well to blame certain groups. You know.
Yeah.
It's like it's just crazy. You know, when you blame the Well, we can cut this out if we want to, but yeah, like the you know, in Germany, it was all the Jews' fault. And when you look at history, like how was that? How were the Jews at fault for any of this stuff? Like it's just an easy scapegoat just to pick somebody, and you know, you pick the Nazis picked the handicap and the Jews and the Gypsies and the it's all, you know, it's this somehow.
It is. It's definitely a more extreme version, but it's the same. It's the same part of the brain that's making these people do that. It's easier to find a scapegoat,
right?
You know,
and it's usually a smaller group, so it's it's easier to a little bit of a voiceless group, and then you pick on them,
And it's scary for people who know autistic people,
right,
to hear stuff like that, and you notice it creeping in amongst my friends. I hear people say he's on the spectrum. That guy's autistic. I think he's autistic. You know, it's like, no, maybe he's just a jackass.
Yeah, it can't be a catch-all for when the guy's
rude. maybe he's just...
He's just a jerk.
A jerk.
That has nothing to do with it, yeah.
Yeah. Don't loop my brother into this. Because that guy gets it.
My brother would never do that to you.
No, he would never.
My brother would never have left you at that party all by yourself. Now, he wouldn't have gone to the party with you to begin with, but that's not the point.
He would have gone. He would have cornered some girl and talked to her about Spider-Man.
What do you think of new Spider-Man? You like new Spider-Man? Is it good? Is it?
I love watching Peter at parties because people are just nodding. Like, when can I get out of this?
Wait for a pause in the conversation. Yeah, yeah. Look around. That's fun. How's Peter doing?
He's doing great. I have a little bit of guilt. I haven't talked to him enough lately. I used to talk to him like 6 days a week, 10 minutes a day, and I've been having a little bit of a travel, and I don't know. I had my girlfriend in town. I don't know. It's just I feel there's like a lot of guilt towards that. But he's doing okay. He's doing well. Same old.
You going back to Canada soon, right? You going to see him, or are you going to the West Coast or East Coast? Or
I'm not going to see him. Okay. I saw him 4 weeks ago.
Okay.
Which was good. But when I go on tour, I'm going to be in Western Canada, which is very far. So
Canada's a big place, they say, yeah.
Yeah, it's second largest country in the world.
Bigger than the States, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Good knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Only Russia. Only Russia's bigger. We have the population of California, though, spread over.
We had a discussion before the podcast about politics, and that was one of the things we talked about. Yeah, mm-hmm. Canada's a little bit smaller in size of population.
Yeah, absolutely. And the only reason is because if you're an immigrant, most people would rather live in a warmer place.
Somewhere warm. It is warmer here.
You guys are all Americans. Always like, wow, man, everyone came here because it's this shit. Whatever. I'm not supposed to swear, but it's like it's a great country here. Yes, but the reason why I didn't come to Canada is just only because it's colder. Do you know how great Canada is? Jamaicans.
Okay,
move
listeners,
there.
You have to hear. You have to bear with them. I get this from all my Canadian friends who all live here now. There's a dozen of them. Mm-hmm. And every day it's about how great Canada is, yet they all live in Los Angeles.
That's a very fair, very so fair argument.
Keep
you just
running your mouth about how great Canada is, and then they all live here in L.A. and Beverly Hills.
I am here.
So it's like, okay,
I'm here. Listen. I already told you America's a great country. I already said that.
I got a bunch of
I'm not a hater. I'm not a hater. I'm here for a reason, man. I like this country, but I'm here for a very specific entertainment reason. Canada, UK. I would still live in Canada if I was not in entertainment. It's just hard to be an entertainer when you live beside the biggest superpower in human history, which also speaks your language in the exact same accent, pretty much. You know what I mean? It's just like you can't have an entertainment industry. You can't.
That does make it hard.
It makes it. Why would you want to watch a Canadian show when you could watch an American show with 10 times the budget and 10 times the resources?
This Canadian BBC, though, isn't there and stuff?
The CBC, yes. You know what? With limited resources, there is some very good Canadian programming up there. Very, very good Canadian programming. We excel at stuff like documentaries, the news.
Is this podcast now Canada's autastic? Is that what this is turning into?
It should be. But it's also going back to autism and and resources and stuff, government resources, it's a lot easier in a smaller country, like you said earlier. It's a lot easier in a smaller country to pool money together for a social program for an autistic person. I do think there is some argument to that, but it's not impossible.
It's not. I just think there's probably half of Canada's population. So if half, if Canada's 40 million people, right? Is that right? 40 million people in Canada? I'm just guessing.
Just under.
Okay, so but there's probably 20 million undocumented people here or something, right? There's, I forget what the numbers. We could look it up, but we're not going to. So I think, yeah, you've got a lot of people that can slip through the cracks. Yeah,
there's a lot of undocumented people. Proportionally, yeah. Probably the same in Canada. There's so many like.
There's, but I'm saying the Chinese numbers people are so big here.
Yes, I agree.
That's
yes.
what I'm saying.
Yes, for sure, for sure. Things. It's very easy for somebody from a smaller country in the Western world to stand on a soapbox and be like, why doesn't America do this? Like in Sweden or like in Canada.
Like Norway. Well, Norway's 3 million people.
Yeah. No, I get
that. LA's 7 million.
I get that. So I get that. But also, I think a lot of the times, people here have never been to countries like that.
That's true.
And they don't know that there's different ideas. You know, I think... Well, somewhere, a shift has to happen.
Well, one of the things that we talked about this is that I feel like the Scandinavian countries, because I have some experience personally.
You do.
There.
You were just there.
They do right. Yeah. I was there visiting my son. Cause my
Your son's there.
His mom has Swedish citizenship.
Your son's there for a reason, by the way.
Yeah. Because it's better for his mom and it's better for him. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I'd prefer for him to be here, but it's...
yes, of
yeah.
course. Close to you. Yes.
Yeah.
You're making a tough call. You're making a very tough call that you had to make. You're making the better thing for him, and you're sacrificing your own personal pride, relationships, you know, personal time with your son, because you know in the end, even though it's harder for you, it's better for your son.
And it's
because
both of our calls. Programs there. Yeah, me and his mom's. Yeah,
well, yes, of course. Yeah, yeah, yes, yes, yes.
But yeah,
yeah.
No, to me, it's asinine, and I get on my soapbox every time I know this, but how we have so much money for some things in this country, and then for other things, it seems like everything just gets complicated. And I understand what, you know, fraud and all that stuff, but if you spend 5 minutes with my son, the first thing is you're like, okay, he's got some, you know, we can label different things this way, but he's got some severe needs and he needs help. And if there's any complication ever to get funding for help for him is just asinine, in my opinion. I don't understand how we make that determination as a society where, oh, we've got money for a wall, we've got money for a war, we've got money for this, but we don't have money for... Anyway. Yeah, very strong feelings about that.
I mean, as you should, of course. I mean, I think that people with autistic people and their family can't help but think that way, you know, because you're forced to. It's just human nature.
And I think the next step is, for our listeners, trite as it sounds, is vote. You know, when these things come up and we talk about these things, it's an opportunity to make your voice heard. And
vote for me. I'd love to vote in this country. I like this country, and I want to.
There we go. Now I'm on board.
But I want to. I'd love to be able to
help improve it.
Help improve it. Yeah. I'm not the type of person. You know, there was a shooting at a comedy club
that I frequent a lot. Yeah.
And,
I'm there tonight, actually.
Yeah, it's the first shooting there in a year, like, or not in the whole, in all of Hollywood, or something.
First murder in the last year in 12, Hollywood. Yeah,
and 12 months. And it's, you know, it was apparently gang related. The guy was assassinated and whatever. And
it was not random violence.
It was not random, but I definitely had some thoughts, like, after it happened, like, what am I doing here?
It's unsettling for you.
Should I move back to Canada? This would never happen. I've never felt unsafe and blah, blah, blah. Am I going to feel unsafe? And then I was like, no. There was shootings at the major mall in Toronto, you know, downtown. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to give up on this country. I asked to be here. They let me in. They were nice enough to let me in and let me work. And I want to help make this country better. I'm here now. You know, I'm part of it. I want to be part of both countries. I'm always going to be Canadian, and I'll always be more Canadian, you know, but I don't want to, I like America. I don't think that the solution is to give up and leave. And I don't think that people who are American who can vote should just give up by not vote. That's giving up, you know?
No, I feel like you have to make your voice heard. Otherwise, you kind of lose the right to complain. Like, if you're not going to take some action and at least try to, then it doesn't make any sense to just complain to your friends. Take action and try to get these things moved in the right direction, you know, for all of our kids. Yeah, you and I had different backgrounds. I grew up in South America, kid of missionary parents. I've witnessed shootings. So I feel like, no, in a small scale, this is terrorism. You're terrorizing this club. You don't get to win.
You don't get to win.
No, I'm not going to be scared of them not participating because you're not abiding by society's rules. No, you're in the wrong. I'm in the right. I'm allowed to live here. I'm allowed to live freely. Just because you're being a jerk, you know, and that's a bit of an understatement, but no, I'm not going to, you don't get to win. It doesn't work like that. No. I'm there tonight. So I'm at the Comedy Store tonight, 8 o'clock, I think. Yeah.
Great.
No, I feel like, you and I talked about this off air, but no, I don't, I feel you can't make your decisions based on fear. That's no, because then they get to, they don't get to determine, and by they, I mean bad people, the rules. And so I feel like that about autism too. Just because someone's going to say something rude to me when I take my son to the store, I'm not going to not take him.
No.
Because you're being rude?
No.
He's allowed to live here too. Mm. He's allowed to exist. So, you know, you can be a jerk if you want to, but we're not leaving. So.
I like that.
That's how I feel.
Should we end on that?
I think we should.
All right. Hey guys out there, and we got real political this time, didn't we? We got more political. We got fired up. But anyway, I mean, if you don't agree with us, let us know.
Send us a tweet.
I'm at Graham K Comedy, GRAHAMKAY Comedy. And
Kirk Smith Comedy. It's my Twitter, Comedy. Instagram, Facebook.
Me too.
It's all there.
Yeah. All right, guys. We love you. Thanks for listening. Take care.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.